Welcome to the NCCF Teaching Podcast. We trust you'll find this encouraging. Thank you and God bless. Well, Father, I just want to give you space here, and I want to ask you to do what's on your heart for us. And I avail myself to be used by you, and I thank you for your grace that is sufficient, and your gifts that I depend on. And so I bless you in this time, and I ask that your word would go forth and accomplish what it's set out for, to build and strengthen and to orient our hearts to truth, ultimately to freedom. And so we thank you for that. In Jesus' name, amen. So I was asking the Lord, what do you want to do this Sunday? What do you want to do? And basically what he said was, I want to show off. It's like, okay, what does that look like? And he didn't tell me, but he did tell me this. He goes, look, I've been showing off. That's been my intention. My whole reason for coming to the earth was to show something off, like to display something. I love how Melanie, you didn't have a clue I was going to talk about this stuff, but the whole thing about the reflection and the image. Oh my goodness, I'm sitting there going, wow, that's pretty awesome, because the primary mission of Jesus' life was to show us what the Father is like, to reflect us. In fact, he said in John 14:9, anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. I love that. And Paul certainly supports all this when he writes in Colossians 1:15, Christ is the visible image of the invisible God. There's that mirror. And let me just say this, that a mirror is, it's important. And we have mirrors in our hearts. In fact, I've heard Bill Johnson say that faith is the mirror in your heart that reflects to the world around you the truth of the unseen world of God and his kingdom. Some of us have a tiny little disco ball size mirror, you know, like one of the many. Others of us, our faith has grown and developed, and we've been capable by just the gift of God to reflect a larger, maybe a, you know, more robust display of God's reality. But God is going to give you just props for, even if your mirror is about the size of a mustard seed. Teeny tiny. It's okay. Let it grow. Let it grow. And so here we are. We know that Jesus being the visible image. And when we hear that, and when we hear that, when, you know, we see him, we've seen the Father, we might automatically say that the things that Jesus showed the people, the things that people showed were through his actions, and those reflected the heart of the Father. And I would say that that's 100% true, and yet we might miss one most important action of Jesus if we look just at his actions, like his miracles, and we forget that one of the most important things that Jesus, quote, showed us about the Father can only be perceived through our listening ears. It's not just our eyes to see. That's why, isn't it interesting how so often in Scripture it says, those who have eyes to see, let them see. Those who have ears to hear, let them hear. So there are things that Jesus displays about the Father's heart that are captured in action. Like, you know, he heals someone. He delivers someone who's demonized. He shows mercy and kindness to the woman caught in adultery, and he rescues her. Those are all reflections of the Father's heart. And then there's this dynamic of his words that are spoken, and they too reflect the Father's heart. And that's one of the things that I want to grab here this morning. So it's not enough that we would have eyes to see what God is like. we have to have ears to perceive what God is like as well. And because we know this is important, I want to make a connection between that faith, that mirror, and our hearing. Because doesn't it say in Scripture that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God, the words of God. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God. The Word was with God, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us and reflected the truth, the heart, the actual being of God Himself through His words and His actions. And so I think it's really amazing that we get to hear the voice of God. I think the words of God spoken to us open our eyes of faith, enlarge our capacity to reflect, and we get to know who the Father is. We get to understand who the Father is. We get to touch His heart through words. So let me quickly build a bridge between how Jesus displays the Father through His words and our invitation to be a prophetic community. Because I've been talking about that for like 2 months now, right? Bits and pieces here and there woven together about what it means to be in relationship with the Holy Spirit, what it means to have the spirit of Elijah come to the church in the last days, what it means for us to function in the grace gifts of God, to pray with our spirits and to have utterance for other people prophetically by the Spirit. And those are really meaty topics. In fact, some of you, even hearing me say those phrases, if you're not used to this culture of like, this is normal, then it may trip you up a little bit. You may have stereotypes or preconceived ideas of what I've just said and all that stuff that gets packed in with that. And I'm okay with that. Look, the Father is in the business of not only leading us into truth, but by His mercy, He's allowing us to deconstruct some old notions that may have actually kept us in bondage and kept us from living freely. So I'm okay with the disruption. It happens simultaneously for most of us, right? So we remember Matthew 7, Jesus says, anyone who hears these words of mine and acts on them, may he be compared to a wise man who built his house on the rock. So Jesus is already affirming that, look, my words are important. Listen to them, put them into action, and you're going to live with some security. You're going to have some foundation. You're going to have some stability in your life. Even though there are going to be storms that are going to come and buffet you, you'll be able to stand in the end because my word is hidden in your heart and you've taken refuge there. And so we know he says that. And then at the end of that chapter, he finishes by saying this. And when Jesus had finished these words, the crowds were amazed at his teaching, for he was teaching them as one having authority, not like their scribes. There was something different about the words of Jesus. Again, he's reflecting the Father. So he is speaking as one who has authority from heaven itself. He is coming as an ambassador, as an emissary of the kingdom of God himself. And he is speaking the very words of God to people. And what was their response to that? For some, it was disruptive. For them, some, you know, it was inflammatory. But for most who had ears to hear, it was an amazement. Their hearts were coming alive. Their hearts were astonished. In fact, when Jesus walked on the road to Emmaus with these disciples who didn't recognize him at first, and then he kind of revealed himself to them as he broke the bread and then he disappeared from their sight, the first thing that they said was, "Were not our hearts burning when he spoke to us?" Was not the mirror in our heart enlarging? The flame growing when he spoke to us. The words of Jesus have power. They have life. So again, I'm building this bridge between what Jesus displayed and the invitation that we have as a fellowship to become a prophetic community, which I believe we already are, actually, but to nurture it and to stir that so that we can actually reflect with that mirror into the world the heart of the Father. Not just through our actions, but through our words. That's the point. Now, with that in mind, let me find my place here. Okay, 1 Peter 4:10. So the way that we display Christ through our lives, the way that we're encouraged to do that, comes in a variety of ways. I mean, we can be assured that the words of God spoken through our lives can hold authority and can have ability to build people up. So 1 Peter 4:10, as each one has received a special gift from God, that would be that grace gift, that charis, that divine gift from God. As we have received this gift, use it or employ it in serving one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. So we're conduits. And there's a variety of ways that God's life and love is going to be displayed to the city. And you have a part to play. Manifold means many different passages that come from one source. It's used in cars. I've shared this before. You have exhaust manifolds where every port draws out the exhaust and it pushes through the one. But the opposite is true as well, that the inflow of the air and the gas mixture gets distributed to all the different cylinders. And it's not like all of that gas and air mixture gets pumped into the one cylinder and all the other seven cylinders get to just go for a ride. It doesn't work that way. We're all the cylinders. Like, we're all going to be conduits of the manifold grace of God through our lives in all of its different facets and ways. And so I want to encourage us here that, you know, in verse 11 of 1 Peter 4, whoever speaks is to do it as one who is speaking the very words of God. And whoever serves is to serve by the strength that God supplies, so that in all things God may be glorified or displayed. So, enough talk. Today what I want to do is I want to point us to 1 Corinthians 14 that tells us, let love be your highest goal, and you should also desire all of these different gifts, these spiritual abilities that God gives, especially the ability to prophesy. That word, okay, yeah, it simply means to speak on behalf of God. And it could be like knowing God's heart and his mind for someone specifically. And it could be an encouragement. It could be actually reflecting to that person the way that God sees them. And it doesn't have to be packaged in a human endeavor. That would be what we would call the flesh. Because if you package an encouragement in the flesh, then what does that become? I mean, that just becomes patronizing in some ways. You know, like you can tell the difference. Like they're just trying to be nice sort of thing. But when it's really in the authority of God, then it has got power and it amazes people because they actually hear God speaking through you. So how many of you, I've asked this before, how many of you have ever had someone share some thoughts, some words, a prayer, and while they're speaking to you, and afterwards when you took that to prayer and you were thinking about it, you recognized that God was speaking to you? How many of you have ever had that experience? All right. This is where we start to participate a little bit. What was that like for you? When you heard someone speaking and it felt like God was, you knew that God was saying something to you. What was that like for you?
Faith building.
It was faith building, enlarging that capacity.
Hopeful.
It was reminding. What else? It was astonishing. It was healing. It was humbling. It was hard. It was confirming.
Inspiring.
It was inspiring. God bless all those people who shared those words with you and did all those things for you, maybe without even knowing it, because they were just being themselves. And they were being responsive to what God was wanting them to say to you. And they probably didn't change the way they spoke. They probably didn't start speaking in King James English. They probably were just having a conversation with you, and all of a sudden it's dawning on you, this is really important. Like, this is hitting something here. I need this. And it may have been hard and disruptive, but it was likely a catalyst for change. One who prophesies strengthens others, encourages others, comforts others. One who speaks a word of prophecy strengthens the entire church. This is why Paul is so clear that we need to eagerly desire this, because it's not just for our ability to prophesy, it's for our ability to be a conduit so that people can receive strength and comfort and, you know, edification. That's the point. But like most things in God's kingdom, it's a win-win situation, because how many of you have ever honestly felt like you had a word that was received as a word from God? Like you were the conduit where you shared something with somebody and they received it. And what did that feel like? Just as good. Gotta love that when that's the equation. Everybody wins. So like I said, enough talk. I warned you a few weeks ago that I was going to have a time where we would activate some of this gifting. And I know that this is where the whole room can change in a moment, where all of a sudden now some of you are like, oh no. Dang it. It's going to be easy and it's going to be fun, because what we're going to do is we're going to get in groups of three, and two of you are going to be praying for the third, and you're going to rotate around. So not at any one time is like the weight of it on you personally. In fact, you definitely have the option of saying, you know, I'd rather just observe right now. If that's your posture, then let a fourth person come in, so the other person who's there isn't holding the weight of it. The thing that I don't want is I don't want these times to become counseling sessions. In fact, I'd prefer, because there's a ditch on either side of this. One is it can get really long and winded and like, you know, too many words. I can't remember anything he just said. And the other one's over here, this ditch over here is like, you're afraid to say anything? Again, three people, each receiving prayer from two people, 10 minutes? That's not a lot of time. But here's what my faith is for you, is that the Lord's going to give you something. In fact, what he might give you initially is a passage of scripture for somebody. Then you can pause. You can look at your partner over there who's also praying for the third. They may have something. They may not. But start with what little you have. Folks may come with concerns, and the Father may not even want to speak about that. He may want to speak about something else. So again, this isn't necessarily a time for you to say, hey, can you pray for my this, that, or the other person? It's more like, Father, what would you like to say? Here's the premise that I've always used whenever I come into a situation where I'm going to be praying for somebody like this. I draw from Psalm 130, is it 9? Where it says that his thoughts about me outnumber the grains of sand. Is it 138? 9. Thank you. So when I step up to a situation where I'm going to be praying for somebody, or I'm having a conversation and I want to have God's thought, I ask him for a grain of sand. Just one. He may pour a whole bucket out after I deliver the one, but at least we can start with the one. And just be open. If he wants to continue to let that flow, then let it flow. We're going to gather back up, like I said, in about 10 minutes. And we're going to talk about how you respond to these words that came to you. Before you finish up with your partner, like for example, we're praying for the one. I might have a scripture. They may have a grain of sand, God's thought for them. I may have one. We may go back and forth. Ask if you can pray to bless that word. So I love it when these words get sealed in the Holy Spirit. So we could just simply reiterate in the prayer, just a brief prayer. Father, thank you for blessing our friend here with this encouragement, that encouragement, these words. We seal it now in the Holy Spirit. in the power of Jesus' name. Amen. I think what that does is it kind of holds space in the realm of the Spirit where now the person can take it with them and they can mash it through the scripture and they can meditate on it and they can get interpretation and a way to apply it without it being stolen, like the birds coming and plucking the word out from the garden. You know, it can take root and produce fruit that remains. So Lord, bless my friends with the grace to speak on your behalf for one another. And I pray, Lord, that as this time is sealed and it is protected, we just thank you for ministering angels that stand as an honor guard around this space. We thank you for your light and your love that displaces all forms of deception and darkness. And we thank you, God, that you are an encouraging Father. And I pray right now that each one of us would reflect just a measure of that to our friends. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, we'll get in groups of three. It might be fun to get with some people you don't know. Okay, friends. I'm going to have you push pause on your conversations. We'll put the bracket on the end of this portion, and we'll move into just some final thoughts here. So we know that Ephesians 1 tells us to be imitators of God as beloved children and walk in love just as Christ also loved you. So here we have this real mandate to reflect, to be an image bearer, as it were, and to imitate. And I think that word might trip some of us up if we were to take a lesser definition of that word, imitate. It's not pretend. It's not imposter. It's actually reflect. It's more of that heavier, weighty sense of the imitation is not the fake. You know how we have imitation foods that are not the real thing? It's not that kind of imitation. I actually got a word for you as we were praying, and it starts with a passage of scripture out of Romans 8:15. You have not received a spirit that makes you fearful, like a slave. Instead, you received God's Spirit when he adopted you as his own child. And I saw a picture of you. And the picture was you walking across the bridge. There's a chasm between this ground and that ground. And it's foggy where you're headed. But this was the weird part of the picture. The closer you got to the middle of the bridge, things started to clear up. And I feel like this is where you're at. You're in a transition. And what cleared up was this picture of a funnel that's on top of your head with the wide part up. And everything of the Father's heart that he's pouring into you is coming in. And the hose of the funnel went down to your heart. And then what I saw is you were now making your way to like 2/3 of the way across. A funnel emerged from your heart outward and the wide part was out. And what's in your heart is now being released. So this one didn't go away on top. And so I just want to bless you that Father, as you walk with Lee in this transition of receiving from you, that he's also being invited and called into giving and imparting the grace of the Father to the fatherless. And so I bless you with that. Good. You're in that transition. It's good. So what do we do with a word like that? That has a lot of imagery and symbols in it, and you know, we can get tripped up on the details. What we always want to do is if we receive a word like this, we always want to get the gist of it. We don't have to get too caught up in the minutia. And so what we want to do is we want to write them down. I saw some of you after your times of prayer with each other, you already pulled out your journals and you started writing some thoughts down. Capture them. Revisit them, not only in prayer, as you meditate on these. And while you're meditating and while you're praying, ask the Father for a right interpretation. What is his gist? You can almost turn it on him and say, Father, what were you wanting to say to me in this? Then you want to run it through the filter of the scripture, because we have an encouragement in God's word that says, test all things and hold on to that which is good, which implies that there might be some things that you just need to let go. And it's like a water filter. When we go out in the wilderness and we filter the water, the impurities will get trapped. So the scripture, the word of God, the Bible itself is that filter. It can grab hold of the things that God really didn't intend to convey to you. Because honestly, we know in part. We prophesy in part, right? We have a part of this. And so you hold on to that which is good, and then you ask God, okay, I'm getting the right interpretation, I believe. Now, how do I apply this? How do I put this into some actual practice? And if it's a word that has a promise for something coming in the future, recognize that oftentimes what you imagine it's going to look like may be different than what actually emerges. Also, it may take more time than you hope. Like, you know, it may take some time. And the Lord's good about that. He's good about giving us words that not only strengthen us in the here and now, but months from now, when we're struggling through something, we can pull that journal out. We can remember. We can be re-strengthened and re-encouraged as we take the words that God has put to our hearts. So, was that fun, you guys? Anybody enjoy that? Good. So, Father, again, as I'm thinking about sealing what you are doing in the Holy Spirit, we thank you that, God, we are hidden in you, Christ, and in you we live and breathe and have our being. And we just thank you, God, that you're going to give us wisdom on how to protect and nurture these words that have the potential of taking root and bearing much fruit, fruit that remains. So we thank you for speaking to us. Thank you for giving us opportunities, not only today, but in the near future, of doing this more. So the Father is just reminding me now, and I'll just share this. I won't preach pray it. I'll go ahead and just speak it to you. You know what preach praying is, right? You get an idea, and you're praying, and you're like, oh, I might as well just preach pray it, and so they can all hear it. I'll just go ahead and tell you what it is. If you want to grow in this, read the Bible. That's what I'm hearing. And let the words of Christ dwell richly in your heart. Because out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. Isn't that fun? Okay. So thank you. God bless all of you. And we will see you again soon.
We hope you enjoyed the podcast. If you have any questions, please drop us a line at nccfcolorado@mac.com.